to Drive-Thru HR. William, Brian, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with folks getting it done. Damn, I love our music. So welcome, everybody. And let's get to our guest, because you know what? He has got some things that not only will be it's interesting, but will be entertaining and possibly even enlightening. Let's go a step further. Let's push the bounds today. So, Mark, welcome.
God, the pressure.
Through HR.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah, the last 3 minutes. Remember in pre-show when I carved out the framework of the last 3 minutes? We'll save that for the end. So we'll make it a happy ending. So
thank you.
if you would introduce yourself to our billions of listeners, and we'll roll from there.
Absolutely. So first of all, I am thrilled to be on the one and only HR show that opens up with Sublime. I mean, you can't beat that. So I'm Mark Moschetto. I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Workforce Software. The company itself focuses solely on workforce management solutions and services. We typically work with large global organizations with a pretty substantial employee base. Prior to my role at Workforce Software, I've been with other workforce management companies, but I've also done stints in the areas of talent management, succession planning, and comp planning and benefits. So I've kind of been around the HR horn, and I love this industry. And you know, I feel like I should break out the longtime listener, first time caller shtick for this one, but I'm glad to be here.
Nice, Mark. We've known each other for a long time, so let's get into. I want to ask you two questions. One about what do you think is keeping your clients up at night, and then one more personally, what's keeping you up at night?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I won't get into the Red Sox discussion when I talk about what keeps me up personally at night. But you know, when we talk about workforce management and what topics along those lines are keeping, you know, our clients and the type of organizations that we meet with at night, I think that there's just been this kind of great awakening that workforce management has kind of transcended the vanilla kind of time and attendance, you punch in, you punch out, you get the paycheck right model. All of that is critically important, but it's just the foundation, right? So some of the issues that our clients are wrestling with that we're helping them to tackle is, you know, how do I make sure that I'm best utilizing my employees, and how do I make sure that I'm keeping them, you know, focused and productive and happy? And I know that touches a lot of different issues, right? But then there's also the area of compliance. So our clients need to make sure that they're adhering to all of the national and local and corporate policies. And there are so many different types of policies that come into play, especially around things like absence and leave. And enforcement is ratcheting up as well. So it's kind of a high-stakes area of HR that we're helping our clients to contend with as well. You know, then there's the scheduling piece. And, you know, not just about putting the right person with the right skills at the right time, but kind of going a level deeper and understanding, you know, where are the efficiencies in my workforce? You know, where are pockets of my business that's performing at peak levels? And how do I dig down, understand what factors are making them high performance, and kind of spread that across the business so that becomes my new standard? Or where do I find areas of inefficiency that I need to, again, kind of dig down to the root cause, understand what's making the performance take a hit there, and kind of put the practices in place to make sure that we elevate that and then keep it in place. So, you know, those organizational intelligence pieces are really important too. So, again, these are all kind of big picture, top of the list concerns that really go right to the heart of helping companies gain a competitive advantage. And again, it's a very different discussion in a very different world than, you know, the kind of electronification of a paper time clock. We've evolved far beyond that, and that's where the industry's heading too.
Well, you know, time and attendance has been around as a category for 30-something years, and yeah. About a decade or so ago, it kind of rebranded as kind of an umbrella of workforce management, which means a lot of different things. If you can, break that down for the audience. Like, what does, if you were to take the umbrella and say, here's everything that should be or is or considered under the umbrella of workforce management?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's good to do some level setting, right? So, you know, you mentioned time and attendance, and absolutely that's one of the foundational pieces of it, right? You need to understand what your workforce is doing at any given time. You need to make sure that you're capturing when they start, when they stop, when they take their breaks, what they're actually working on. And, you know, you can get a lot of really interesting and useful data out of just that piece. But, again, that's the foundational element. The scheduling component is also critical, right? So understanding what talent you have within the organization, what are their skill sets, what's their availability and availability preferences, being able to schedule so you're minimizing things like overtime costs, or in certain industries you're minimizing the need to go out to, you know, third parties to augment your staff. So approaching scheduling from a strategic standpoint. Another topic that's kind of hot, not just in workforce management, but across the HCM spectrum is analytics and reporting, right? So when you think about the types of data that's generated within workforce management, even just from that time and attendance piece, you can get a lot of really interesting insight out of what's going on in your company from that. But the real kind of key to making that pay off is being able to combine that with data from other sources throughout the business, and we can, you know, do a deeper dive on that if you're interested later on, but the analytics and reporting layer is really important. And then, you know, a couple of other areas that I think recently is gaining a lot of steam. We mentioned this absence and leave compliance piece. It's really important. You know, it's a challenge for organizations across the globe, really. But just to give a U.S.-specific example, you've got FMLA at the federal level. Then you've got over 300 state-specific absence and leave regulations under that. So think about it. If you're an employer that has operations in multiple states, you need to understand what the implications of an employee taking leave are in each of those states and what regulations apply to them. So it's really complex. You need to manage that completely, not just from a proof of compliance standpoint, but the stakes are higher in other areas too, right? It affects employee morale. There's the fine and litigation end of it. You could damage your brand. So we see a lot of organizations that are focusing on that. And then the fifth element that we see as part of workforce management is this concept of employee fatigue management. And I think that you see some industries where that's really getting front page above the fold attention. You know, areas like transportation, pipeline and petrochemical, where individuals that are working these really long hours can pose a significant risk of life and limb. So there are industries like that have mandates around, you know, employee fatigue. But then there are other industries that are just really seeing the connection between employees that are overworked or are not taking adequate rest between shifts or adequate breaks. It has an impact on morale, it has an impact on productivity, it has an impact on your clients. So, you know, fatigue management is kind of that fifth piece that we see under that workforce management umbrella. But then it's part of the total human capital management stack too, right? So there's that information sharing across other parts of the business too that's important.
You know, as you say that, I'm thinking to myself, what should workforce management be tied to? Should it be tied to core, you know, HR or payroll? Should it be tied to performance management or incentives? Like, what should, if done well, from an HR perspective, what should this technology be tied to?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, and that's a great question. And, you know, oftentimes it's a little bit in the eye of the beholder, right? It's the organization, the industry, it's who is driving, you know, the need for these types of information and data points that we talked about. Increasingly, we see it being tied to operations, right? Because a lot of what human capital management and workforce management touches really addresses the basic operational efficiencies of a business. So, you know, there's that time and attendance layer that certainly has, you know, a tie-in with payroll. There are other elements that certainly tie in with a broader HR perspective. So, you know, skills and certifications and all that comes into play when scheduling. But progressive organizations, and really we're seeing the tide turning in this direction now, is where they look at workforce management from an operation standpoint. How do I, you know, make my organization at every level run at peak efficiency? And it's even not just about hourly employees. I think time and attendance in particular tends to be tied to, you know, hourly employees, but a lot of our clients are actually, you know, salaried workers. So being able to track which team is working on a project and how efficient are they at doing that particular task, and are there other locations that I have with teams with similar skill sets that are perhaps more efficient at doing it, and, you know, do I put work into those groups? Do I, again, do that root cause analysis and understand why those efficiencies are there and then make that the standard across the business? You know, it's those types of big picture questions that that we're seeing driving a lot of the needs and a lot of the, you know, strategies that are being put together.
What are some of the big differences from a workforce management perspective? What are some of the big differences between managing an hourly workforce and a salaried workforce?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great question, and especially right now with some of the new regulations that are coming down, right? Like the Affordable Care Act, you know, one of the big challenges there are with an hourly workforce, being able to understand how many people are working, you know, 30 hours per week. That and above are individuals that are going to be more impacted by, you know, the employer having to provide insurance. Those working under 30 hours per week, you know, don't hit that kind of watermark. So there's the in-the-moment kind of topical things right now where organizations have to make those determinations. And then from that, be able to answer the bigger questions like, you know, do I need to back off on my full-time employees and hire more part-timers so I don't have to have that hit of taking care of insurance? You know, or we've seen other organizations that are actually saying, you know, I'm going to bring on more full-timers and use the actual need that I have to provide insurance as a retention tool. So there are elements like that that are kind of tied to regulations and processes. In a bigger sense, though, you know, there are more similarities than differences, because it's all, again, about optimization, using the right tools, using the right resources, making sure that you're keeping costs in check, making sure that you're best utilizing those individuals. So, you know, I think that's where solution providers and individuals in HR who have a workforce management strategy that looks at it, you know, not just from the hourly salaried standpoint, but from a how do I optimize the performance of my business as a whole, are the ones that are really coming out ahead.
What are the industries that consume, you know, workforce management versus some of the laggards? Like if you were to look across all of America and stack all the different industries, where do you get consumption in workforce management, and where are some of the industries that are a little bit farther behind?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, I think it all breaks down to the individual employer level, right? Because, you know, different organizations have different perceptions of the technology and the strategies and how it's going to be used. You know, some areas, some industries that we see really gravitating towards having this very strategic view of workforce management are areas like healthcare. And that comes to roost in a couple of different factors. So within a healthcare organization, within a hospital, there are, you know, it's typically a shortage of nurses. So there's a tight competition for those skilled workers. There's also some scheduling sensitivities around that too, right, where if nursing staff calls in sick, or if, you know, they need to otherwise plug some gaps in a calendar or in a schedule, they often go to agency work. They go to these third-party organizations. It's typically very expensive. And, you know, being able to minimize the need to go to those types of third parties not only has a positive effect on the bottom line, but being able to serve patients with, you know, your own staff versus third party has a direct effect on, you know, quality of care, has a direct effect on length of hospital stay. So, you know, we see organizations like that that are really kind of embracing this strategic view of workforce management. You know, from a laggard standpoint, it's a little tough to make that call, because just from our position in the marketplace, we tend to focus more on those organizations that have that strategic view.
Nice. Hey, Mark, we're going to do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR. Brian and William talking with Mark about all things workforce, everything, just all workforce, totally macro. So Mark, kind of, what's kind of your initial reaction when you start to hear workforce management, talent management? Kind of take that apart a little bit, because I know they get intersected, and sometimes people are like, oh, they're totally different. They really don't have a lot to do with each other. Kind of what are thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, again, it's probably those organizations that have, you know, more of the quote-unquote traditional view of workforce management, kind of the old-school time and attendance stuff that we talked about, that aren't really seeing that connection. But really, you know, it's part of that evolution that I mentioned earlier. So, you know, employers are starting to look at this category as workforce management in a bigger and more strategic way. And, I mean, think about it. The workforce management piece really touches employees each and every day at pretty much every level. You know, we capture the basic information, you know, start, stop, what they worked on when they take breaks, and all the stuff that you'd expect. But then you marry that data up with those data points from other parts of the business, and it gives you some really great insight. Now, I'll give you a specific example. You know, let's say you're a manufacturer and you have plants in multiple locations. And by combining the data that we collect with the data from, like, plant floor systems, you can get a great profile of the productivity and the capabilities of each team. So, you know, you may learn that a particular shift may not produce the most widgets given their time, but maybe they have the least amount of scrap and rework. So that becomes your go-to team. That becomes your pool of talent if you're working on a project where raw material costs are high. You know, another team may be extremely productive but generate a little more scrap through the process. So that team, that talent, would be better suited to other projects. You know, again, you could also learn that one plant maybe has lower costs and less overtime than others, and have the data you need to drill down and to do a root cause analysis and find out, you know, why are they so efficient, and then try to replicate that in your other locations. Another example where I think the intersection is a little more direct is that, you know, there are some organizations that have a bit of a skills gap, right? So seasoned workers are leaving the workforce faster than younger workers can join. And when those folks who have been doing the job for years or decades leave, they're walking out the door with a lot of tribal knowledge, right? So, you know, they've got the best way to do their own jobs down pat, and no training manual is going to capture all of the great tidbits of information.
I think he dropped off, Brian.
Hey, William. Well, that was and he had some. He was rolling. That was some good.
He was listening,
right?
He was rolling, and he'll call back in. What was your question, by the way? While we have a moment before he calls back in, what was your question, so that I have an idea?
Well, my follow-up question is really about just kind of like workforce management, talent management. You know what I mean? Like, that really is getting more blended, because it used to be different, right? Workforce management was much more about optimization and all those things. So, hey, Mark, welcome back to Drive-Thru HR.
Hey, sorry, guys. I just got really loud static and then flatlined, so I apologize for that.
No, it is all good. So, anyway, continue your thought if you want. If not, you can just say, nah, I'm done. It's all up to you.
No, but this was like so beautiful and eloquent. I've got to finish it.
Agreed.
Just kidding. So anyway, yeah, what I was saying is that those organizations that are having a little bit of that gap, right, where the more seasoned professionals are leaving faster than the younger ones can join, you know, when they retire, when they leave, they're taking more than that gold watch with them. They're taking tribal knowledge how to best do that job. So what we're seeing organizations do from a talent management standpoint is kind of connecting at the scheduling level, right? So you're getting those more seasoned workers that are teaming up with the younger workers in a little bit more of that kind of master craftsman apprentice model. So that tribal knowledge, those tidbits on how to do their job better, that kind of focus that you're not going to capture in a manual or through a training session, is really being imparted on that newer generation coming in, and that's helping organizations to kind of smooth out those peaks and valleys that sometimes come when those turnover events occur. So those are a couple areas where I see the talent management piece really intersecting.
Nice. Mark, one of the pieces of feedback, especially on the workforce, kind of enterprise workforce space that I've had from, like, and we're talking Fortune, probably Fortune 250 companies, is the fact that they might love the actual install. They love kind of a lot of what the company does and offers on the application. But then there's all these little, like, freebies that get tucked into it. Like, maybe it's a little performance management. Maybe it's some assessments. And what happens is they start to be like, well, they start to get kind of a dilution of the value because of the freebies that some of the workforce plays do. So how do you go about that conversation, like, from an enterprise level for your industry, saying, don't do that. It's going to dilute from the core product, which is so good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think if I know where you're going with this, and I'll start answering as such, and if I'm off base, just let me know. But, you know, I think that what you're referring to is, you know, sometimes there's the holistic kind of, we can come in there and we can do everything from hire through retire, and we've got these individual modules that will take care of that. Very, very powerful model, absolutely, and I think that there are lots of players out there that do it well. But if you go back to some of the strategic pieces that we talked about before, and particularly when you talk about, you know, the granularity of data and information and how workforce management is being used as more than just kind of feeding payroll, that's where those differences start to arise, right? So, you know, for example, a solution that's configurable in the field, like, I don't think anyone has had the experience where they've put in a workforce management solution, they get it configured, you know, it's up and running globally, and then that's the static state that it stays in for the next X number of years, right? I mean,
right.
Employment contracts are renegotiated, new rules pop up, new business demands pop up, and that drives different change. So having the ability to have a solution, have a system in place that can kind of evolve along with your business and roll with those changes is really important, and that's a piece that I think is missing when you kind of go for that. You know, hey, I bought solution XYZ, and they threw in, you know, free licenses for the workforce management piece. You know, once you actually get under the covers and you start to understand what that means, all the different ways that you can use that data, and all the different touch points that data has throughout your enterprise, that's where you start to realize, you know, the difference between having a best of breed and having, you know, kind of that holistic solution. But, again, there has to be that data connectivity to all the other parts of that stack, right? So, you know, the best bet, open solution, a best-of-breed solution, but then also, you know, operates in an environment where the information exchange between other applications is pretty open and pretty easy.
Nice. Speaking of that, what are some of your favorite analytics and or metrics from a workforce management perspective?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. You know, the analytics is in the eye of the beholder, and it's very, very tied to, you know, what are the business goals that the individual organization is trying to achieve. So, you know, with that caveat, some of the things that I think are most powerful go from, you know, the basics, just having a really good understanding of, you know, for example, the productivity of each individual employee or each group of employees, and be able to understand, you know, what they're working on, how efficient they are doing those tasks, and being able to tie that with, you know, things like overtime costs. Just by having those two different metrics in place and having visibility into that, you can see a really good cause and effect between those two numbers, and allows you to kind of pinpoint as an organization or even as individual managers where you need to make some tweaks to kind of help drive those costs down and become more efficient. You know, and a lot of it is tied to vertical. A lot of the clients that we've had, and particularly lately, we've had a lot of traction in the higher ed community. So those are organizations where, you know, typically you'll have, there could be an individual employee who is maybe a student, and he'll bust the tables at his dorm cafeteria in the morning. In the afternoon, he's going to work at the library. In the evening, he might be, you know, doing some lab assistant work. Three different jobs, three different pay levels, three different managers, and by the way, that evening job is funded from a grant. So being able to have, you know, the granular data tracking, the ability to report, you know, kind of all those metrics on specifically things like grant tracking making sure that those individual dollars are being used in the way that they were intended, and having that evidentiary data trail to go back to, you know, the person providing that grant is really important too. So, you know, a couple of quick examples, but, you know, really a lot of it is just driven by the individual industry and what they're trying to achieve.
Nice. Put on your futurist hat for a second and think of the mobile world and the workforce management world. Where do you see this playing out over the next 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, you know, I don't see any way where the kind of forward movement of mobile technology abates. You know, I think that just knowing you guys and the folks who tune into your call, this whole concept of bring your own device is certainly probably familiar ground, where you've got individual employees that the tech that they have in their pocket that they buy in their own is probably a little cooler and better than the tech that's being handed out by the IT department. So, you know, it's from a vendor standpoint, it means that we have to be able to develop solutions that will work on any mobile device, any operating system, and not add the extra headaches to the IT department of which version of what app do I install for what phone. So I think that it's going to force organizations to, you know, have kind of a more open viewpoint of how they deploy solutions and let people access it through mobile devices. I think another point that's probably the coolest one is that it's really forcing, you know, organizations, not just in workforce management, but technology providers of all stripes, to have a much more focused kind of consumer-like approach to developing their applications. You know, I think the days of we're going to roll out an application and then you've got to sit through 3 weeks of training to use it, those are just gone, man. So it's got to be usable. It's got to be instantly digestible. It's got to be something that people can pick up, spend a couple of seconds in it doing what they need to do, and then getting out. You know, as we continue to move over the next couple of years and as mobile continues to penetrate, you know, deeper into the organization, I just see that trend continuing, and I think that's a great thing. I think it's a great thing.
Nice. Well, Mark, we got about 2 minutes left. Final question.
Sure.
This is the bonus round. I know you, you know, marketing guy, so I know you consume a lot of content. So where have you been drawing, or where have you drawn some inspiration from lately? Saw it, read it, ran into it, fell over it, whatever.
You know, I think that, so excellent question, by the way, for the bonus. You know, where I've been getting a lot of inspiration from has been, you know, the kind of traditional channels that we in this industry use. There's some great events out there. There are great resources like this one. But, you know, again, the problems that organizations need to solve and where workforce management plays a big role are the front page, above the fold, kind of big picture challenges. So, you know, even just reading the kind of general business press publications, you know, the Fortunes and the Fast Companies and things like that, and even the daily news, just following things that have been happening with the Affordable Care Act, and, you know, some of these other, I mentioned, industries where fatigue is coming into play. You know, these are the big picture problems that organizations wrestle with, you know, at the very top of the corner office. And then also these are the things that are getting the front page attention from the media that can affect the brand. So, you know, as we talk about how do we continue to push workforce management into that strategic world, you know, how do we continue to solve those big picture problems? Those are the types of challenges that we keep our eyes on, and that's where, you know, as the designated marketing guy in the call, that's kind of where I try to keep my focus too. How can we help our clients and other companies solve those problems?
Well, damn good answer. Mark, it's been great having you on. Thanks for spending lunch with us. Hopefully we can get you back on for the end of the year and see how things are playing out for you. Folks, it has been a great day, great show. We are definitely rolling out, how about with a little more Sublime?
Early in the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason. Reason things went wrong. Got to find a